Proverbs chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 6. You know, we ask the Lord is our shepherd, and we ask the Lord to feed us in his green pastures, don't we? We long to be fed, to be strengthened in faith in the inner man. Indeed, this is the word of God. May our hearts be quickened and eager to receive it. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is good to be with your people and before you to bring you your worship this night. And we pray now that you would impart to us lessons for instruction, to build us up in the most holy faith. We pray that you would be our foreguard and our rear guard. Teach us, lead us, guide us. Indeed, Lord, bring your comfort. Indeed, Lord, bring your correction. May we more and more follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And we ask now for the help of our God and the strength of our God, all according to your Spirit, even as we are in your word. So teach us. We are your children. We're eager to learn. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Without a doubt, you can start back in the Bible. You can start back in the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. There you have our first parents, Adam and Eve. You move on down into the story of Abraham. You move even further down to the story of Moses and all the lessons and the episodes and the scenes in the book of Exodus and so on and so forth. You keep moving on through the Bible down to the storyline of King David. And you may think of the scenes where he is a shepherd boy and the scenes of the giant Goliath. The scenes that where he and King Saul are playing that cat and mouse sort of life that they have. David, indeed, in his own years, it would follow suit. It's the same for him as well. You keep on reading your Bible, you get on into the New Testament, and we come to one like, we could pick several, but we come to one like Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you see, in all of these scenes, all of these chapters, and even the ones many ones I've skipped over, but it's true. It's something that is repetitive, and it's there on the very surface of the pages of Scripture. There is this repeated call to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, that is not our natural default place to live. We just have to own up to that. Our default, our natural propensity is to seek control, to seek to be in control, right? Man has a control issue. But the Bible just cuts across the grain on that. The Bible just cuts across the grain. We're called to trust. We're called to trust in the Lord. We are called to completely, wholly, entirely, fully to be given over to the Lord. That's our passage tonight. One that likely many of us in the room this evening have a great deal of familiarity with this passage. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. We're being called to trust. Someone has set forth an apt illustration. I think it's right on the money, right spot on here for us, an apt illustration about this idea of trust, trusting in the Lord. And the illustration has to do with getting on an airplane. When you get on an airplane, you completely relinquish everything. You give complete control over to the life experience, the skill, the wisdom, the judgment, to the mechanics, to the ground crew, the air traffic control personnel, the flight attendants, and most especially to the pilot and the co-pilot. What an apt illustration. Complete trust. So let me ask you this evening, do you struggle with control issues? Do you raise your voice? Do you ask one more question that you might make one more point? Just one more point to make. Do you need everything in its place? Do you obsess about keeping a schedule? Do you worry about what's next? You see, we are being called to trust in the Lord. So let me ask you this evening, where do we start? Where do we start in this matter of these verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Two lessons this evening from the passage. We start with the place of the Lord's relationship to us. That's where we start. Do we want to grow in Christ? More and more learning to live in Christ, to trust Him, to trust the Lord. We start with this place of our relationship, His relationship to us. Then secondly, we'll look at this matter of our complete reliance upon Him, relying upon Him. Let's get started here. It's His relationship with us. What is the relationship from this passage? What is the relationship that is in view? The relationship is that the Lord is our teacher. That's the primary image in view. In chapter 3 here, we have this language. Look at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Now, Solomon, King Solomon, has in view one of his sons. And there is this fatherly to the son relationship in view here. But there's no question. We read a passage like Proverbs 3, 1, and we readily think of God, who is our Father. Who is what? Who is our teacher? Verse 1 again, my son, do not forget my teaching. It goes on, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your heart, your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You see, the image of a father to a son, and then to take that and to make application that God is our Father. We read passages like these and we say, that's right. God is the one who is our teacher. He is our fatherly teacher. This is the Lord who instructs us. This is the Lord who corrects us and counsels us. This is the Lord who is our teacher, who imparts knowledge to us. And you see, this relationship with the Lord, our Lord who is the teacher, He's not one who flounders. He's not ill-prepared as a teacher. He's not writing lesson plans on a whim. No, He's the master teacher. He's the Lord. And one of the wonderful things about Scripture is that our God Himself accompanies the Word. It's not a bare, sterile, sort of distant relationship that we have with the Word, bare and sterile and distant. That is to say, in a conversely way, God Himself accompanies His Word. As He teaches you, He indeed is present. And how do we know this? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus Himself told His disciples, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Why are His words spirit and life? Because He is heaven sent. He comes with words of instruction. He is life. So as we open the Bible, as we're instructed by our God, He is present with us. He indeed is the one ministering to us in His Word. He is the one imparting to us. He's guiding us, correcting us, giving us counsel, giving us wisdom, building our faith, calling us back away from sin and to cling to Christ. He's the one looking out ahead of us as we cling to His promises. He accompanies His Word. He is our teacher. My son, do not forget my teaching. And then we go down to our passage. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him with all your heart. You see, what he says, what our God says because of who he is, means he can be trusted. We live in this relationship with the Almighty God, who has his eye on us as he instructs us. Listen to what Job asks. Job 36, 22. Behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? How about Isaiah chapter 40? Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sets above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, and he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created all these things. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, why speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who lacks no might, he increases strength. This is our God, who is our teacher. And so we turn to him, and we receive his commandments, and he tells us, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. This is the Almighty One, who's exalted in power, and in his lordship as a teacher, he is to be trusted. Listen to Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. This is the relationship that God has with his people. He is your teacher. And as we start in that relationship, as we're anchored in that relationship, that he is our teacher, then we can continue with this proverb to learn about continual reliance upon him. Continual reliance. Now, in what way reliance? In what way? What are we talking about here, Pastor Sumter? In what way reliance? The passage goes on, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Why rely on him continually? Why rely upon our God and his word day after day, hour by hour? His word, here it is. His word is our sure fruit-bearing guide. It's a fruit-bearing guide. He promises fruit. Do not rely on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Here's the fruit. And he will make straight your paths. His word is a fruit-bearing guide. And what I want to introduce at this point, and we'll come back to it in just a minute, this reliance upon him and his word is saying, Lord, my life is over. My life is over. The life that is known as Mark Sumter is over. And that means we give ourselves to our God in submission. Submission. Full reliance. Submission. Full reliance. So we go to his word. It's the fruit-bearing guide. And we walk in submission to it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 16, 20. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It is the fruit-bearing guide. We're to go to the Lord who's worthy of trust. Listen to Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I will wait all the day long. That is reliance. Listen to Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That's full reliance. Listen to Psalm 56 at verse 9. This I know, that God is for me. Isn't that a wonderful passage? This I know, God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. That is full reliance. Listen to Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. That is full reliance. And you see, with the survey of these kinds of psalms, what are we picking up when we talk about this continual reliance? There's a connection between reliance and humility. Reliance and dependency. Reliance and giving yourself away in submission. You see, it's a refusal. When the proverb tells us, do not lean on your own understanding, we're wanting to put away from us. We're refusing self-reliance. We're refusing looking back on life experience than to trust life experience. We are refusing to trust in our feelings. Isaiah chapter 41, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Isaiah 46, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. Isaiah 46, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times to things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes. This is a refusal to self-reliance. It's a refusal of relying upon one's feelings or one's life experience. Well, I've been down this road before. I know where it's going to go. Once again, trusting in the Lord and that continual reliance has a close relationship to humility, to dependency upon the Lord, and getting self out of the way and pursuing submission. Isaiah 57, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. The proverb tells us, in all your ways acknowledge him. I return to this last quality of submission, this continual reliance upon the Lord and his word, that fruit-bearing guide. And now we're talking about submission. You see, to acknowledge the Lord, in all your ways acknowledge him, and to acknowledge the Lord is saying, Lord, my life is done. I'm here for you. And you see, that is just an extremely short step to Christ's life for us. Submission of the Lord Jesus unto his Father. complete reliance, humility, dependency. The Bible tells us that Jesus, our Savior, lived for us. That's why we can walk the walk only of His grace. We walk the walk of that complete and continual reliance. And we go to the Word and we say, Lord, my life's over. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then He said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. And He came to the disciples and He found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, for the second time, He went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done. And again He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And so leaving them again, He went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then He came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's fully God and fully man, He came into this world, and there in the Garden of Gethsemane, He came, and all of self was placed to the side. Not my will, Father, but Your will be done. That continual reliance, you see, equals submission. Submission. Why is submission so hard? Why is it that even Jesus here is our Savior? There's a doctrine of submission that we must embrace. It's His submission. And by faith, we take Christ as the one who submitted for us. And we walk in Christ. And we struggle in that walk in Christ. It is by faith and faith alone in Him. He is our submission. But why is it so hard? Because it's the very thing that has to get self out of the way. Submission is not submission until self is annihilated, till self is set aside. To submit is to be under another. And that takes us right back to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not my way, O Lord. Your way alone. In Christ's strength, the Spirit's empowerment, clinging fast to His word, His many promises, as we've even rehearsed many of those promises. Continual reliance upon Him. Trusting in the Lord moves us to dependency. Trusting in the Lord moves us to getting self out of the way and humility. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. With patience bear thy cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and the winds still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. Through Jesus Christ, we are called to take our God as our teacher. Through Jesus Christ, we are called to that continual reliance upon our God. Our trust is in the Lord. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will bring that fruit-bearing assurance to make straight our paths. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, there is likely such a varied way of our hearts tonight. The cares, the needs, the concerns, the opportunities, the responsibilities, all the things that are out before us. But Lord, you have so assured us that you are our God who leads us in that way of everlasting life. We give you everything concerning our lives. We are in the palm of your hands. Oh, how we thank you that you are for us, to lead us, to guide us. And most especially, Lord Jesus Christ, because of who you are and what you have done, we may walk in peace. Our trust is in you, O Lord. We pray that in this new coming week ahead of us, that you would grant us a deepening in prayer, a deepening in holding fast to your promises, to remember that you are the one guiding us. Our hope is solid, our anchor is sure. O Lord, because of your Son, you have made our walk to be steadfast. It's all of you. Grant us these things, we pray. Nurture us, we pray. And we ask now your blessing, that we might follow in trusting in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.